It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Listen to that. Jamie hitting that post without effort. That's like half of 1% of my brain I used to hit that post. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. Kristen, do the kids still hit posts these days?
They try, but they miss it a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Over the other state, they do that at KUPL, right? A couple? They talk of ramps, don't they?
All these guys are great at it.
Really?
Yeah.
They're the best, I think.
No, they're not.
They're the gold standard for post talking.
That's it. That's a bold statement. I'll have to get him up. Is that Smokey? He's back from vacation. We'll have to get him over here. We'll have a little post off.
And they have better snacks than we do.
They have better everything than we do. It's a 503.
There's a bunch of ringdings out there, which are rare for the West Coast, because here they call ding-dongs, but they're the same thing. So somebody got some East Coast ringding.
Oh, is that like a ringding is like
a ding-dong.
What am I thinking? Oh, I'm thinking of the Little Debbie snack cake. Do they have that here?
The Little Debbie's?
Yes. I'm sorry, Lil Debbie. They do have those, because there's that whole, it's like those, what is that other thing I'm thinking of then for the East Coast? Tasty Cakes, that's what it is. Tasty Cakes are an East Coast thing only.
Scooter Pies. They have Scooter Pies here.
There's a place that sells Tasty Cakes in Portland.
God, we sound so old.
Do they have Burma Shave signs on here?
I was just going to say, whatever happened to 20 Mule Team Borax? Jesus God. All right, 503-733-2970.
Let's watch the mosquitoes get killed under the bug light. Well, we're strumming a banjo.
Watch the feed train come by. It's another exciting day in Lincoln City. All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Coming to the bottom of the hour, CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. Top five. We have another installment of Enemy of the People. We'll try to get through. Peter Carlin's going to be here, and et cetera, et cetera. So on and so forth. Let's just go. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From the City of Angels, a god among newsmen named Jim Roop. It's Jim Roop. How are you, sir?
Okay, how are you?
Oh, I really honestly don't know how to answer that question today.
Tough Monday?
Nah, it's either great or terrible. I can't really tell. Probably a little bit of both.
First hole anxiety in golf, man. It's always tough to get that first one off.
That's what I'm saying. No, is it, you know what I mean? Is this whole weekend, man, it was just, I had no rest and recuperation time this weekend. I was kind of off gallivanting about doing whatever. We saw Rickles this weekend, though.
Was that? Now, was that good or what?
Oh, man. Better than fantastic. Good. Yeah, it was
four
great.
Stars.
I mean, and it's just, I know I've been going on and on about it, but what are you going to do? It really is like a window. And Andy, there was a bunch of listeners who were there. They saw it, too. And everybody kind of said the same thing, that it was this window into a bygone era, because he had the whole orchestra, you know, and the big brass section kind of in the, you know, whatever. They're all sitting there those funky little, they look like quiz show booths or whatever. Like the whole brass section is there.
Yeah.
I mean, and the guy starts and he goes, "Ladies and gentlemen, you know, the sounds of Don Rickles." And then they play this musical montage that lasted like 3, 4, 5 minutes. And I just figured the sounds of Don Rickles would be like the sound of him dying. You know what I mean? It should be the sound of his bones turning into dust.
you know what else I found out today? He has 75 more engagements this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he said he was going to Europe, and then he was like going back and touring Hollywood again. And I mean,
see, you got to do that though when you're that old, man. You'll die.
No. If you stop. Yeah. It's like a shark moving in the water.
Live for the applause.
I'm telling you right now. I think the odds are pretty high that that's a guy who'll die on stage. That's a guy.
George Burns type, probably.
Yeah, just the way he wants it, too. You know?
Yeah, he will keel over in the Catskills somewhere. So,
Poconos somewhere.
But he was funny, man, and he was funny in a way that you just cannot be now. Most comedians could not get away.
The ethnic humor?
Yeah.
I haven't heard Polish jokes in a long time.
I mean, who? Yeah, I mean, it's like Tim and I are looking at everyone like, what year is this? You know, like he's...
It was great. Nobody does that anymore.
No, I mean, it was just one of those. He reminds you of just, in a way, how far we've come and how far we've gone backward, that there's so many boundaries on most comedians now with what you can say. And it's amazing that that guy, Don Rickles, can come out and do a set that is almost entirely made up of either ethnic or sexual or otherwise sort of, I don't know.
Politically incorrect stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I hate that phrase, politically incorrect, but that's what I mean. And at no point does it come off as, like, hateful or bigoted, but he totally does it, and it has this certain kind of weird, quaint charm to it.
Oh, he was the first one to even try that way.
Yeah.
When, and he got away with it.
Yeah.
You know, he just can't. He has a way of saying stuff that, you know, yeah, okay, great, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, he was, and even the, Okay, sample. This is, by the way, I'm just conveying a Don Rickles joke here. By the way, these are. This is now done in the context of a journalistic observation and review of the Don Rickles thing. But no, we're there at Chinookwinds Casino, which is obviously an Indian gaming resort. And so there's actually an Indian woman in the front row. And he looks down, you know, and he makes some crack about, you know, I was trying to sleep last night, but your family kept circling my house. You know, I think I got a couple of them with a rifle, though. You know, which is like, and it's that, one of the first, and he comes out and he makes a couple jokes like that, and for the first few jokes, you can kind of sense everybody in the place kind of going, and it's a sort of a little inhalation of breath, like, you're not supposed to say that. But then, like 10 minutes in, you just don't even care anymore because he's just got such a weird charm about him.
Yeah.
So it was good, man. I hope to be that sharp when I'm 80.
Well, I'm glad you got a chance to check him out, and Eric. I thought he was.
Thank you.
I'll wheel you out in your wheelchair when the time comes.
So I can just put me on stage and I can do my. You know, let me talk about Motley Crue for a minute. And just making my same like dumb Three's Company observations and trying to impress people by naming all 29 Kiss albums in a row.
And then you can mispronounce everybody else's name.
And that's the other thing is at the end of the at the end of the night, he actually thanked me from the stage, called me Rick Erickson. That's what I'm talking about. That's all about that right there. Hey, so is this like the third day in a row? Am I reading this correctly that they've got you covering the World Cup?
Yeah.
They do know that it's happening in Germany, right? And that you're in Los Angeles.
What I told them. That's so funny you should say that, because when Richard Weinbrock called me this morning and said, I said, you realize it's not being played in Los Angeles.
Like there's no one here playing it. What? There's no one in Los Angeles. Who cares about it?
Well, they sent Ed to Florida. You know, to get rained on, and, you know, Lisa Goddard's in Washington, what are they going to do? Baumgarten doesn't know what the heck World Cup, so he hates sports.
There's actually, I think, either two or three CNN people that are all being, somebody must be paying off somebody there, because, I mean, I can count on zero fingers the number of people I know that are really into the World Cup.
Well, plus, there was a few incidents here over the weekend in Huntington Park that, the heavily Hispanic area that rioted the last World Cup, and they were out in the streets again when Mexico beat Iran the other day.
That was satisfying, though. Come on. I mean, even I, who I don't care one whit about soccer, even I was satisfied when Iran lost.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's I'm anytime there's a country right now.
I'm not going as far as calling for amnesty, but no. Yeah, I was happy too.
That's what we should tell them. If they beat enough other countries, we might consider amnesty. But they got to have a record of at least 90%.
Got to beat the desert countries.
Seriously, any country that starts with an I. Every time you beat a country that starts with an I, you get one step closer to amnesty. It'd be like
well, those guys are going to go home and they're all going to be beheaded for losing this. There'll be a brand new team put together for the next one.
Well, did you see? And I mean, it's only half joking. But it does seem like it's kind of strong motivation when you know that at home is some Idi Amin type bastard.
Yeah.
Who's? Did you see that those Iranian athletes were? Shouldn't be laughing, but I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, those Iranian athletes were killed for wearing shorts.
I didn't know that.
It was in the news. It was actually the Associated Press had it on Yahoo, where some Iranian athletes are like working out, and you know some, you know the minister of like you know long pant sizes or whatever comes by and you there blah blah blah, blah. And the guy's yes sir, bam, dead. You know why? Wearing shorts. So, it seems like if you live in Iran, your best chance is just to kill yourself and hope that you come back as something better next time. You know what I mean? Just kill yourself and get yourself back in the spirit gumball machine. Hope you land in like Australia or whatever the next go around. All right. Well, in any event, so they got you covering this. Somebody asked me earlier today, actually, because the weird thing about the World Cup is, that no one cares about it, but the fact that no one cares about it in America is kind of its own story.
Well, here's the funniest part today, if I may interrupt you for a moment.
Yeah, go ahead.
They sent me out to at 6 o'clock this morning because the game started at 6.
Right.
It was Japan and Australia or something. So the Egyptian theater, or the man's Egyptian, you know, next to the Chinese theater,
right,
are showing on their big movie screen these games. So I go in there thinking there's going to be, you know, maybe some Japanese and Australians there.
Yes.
There was nobody.
No.
It was completely empty. And they said, please don't mention that.
Don't worry. I'll keep your secret.
I said, don't worry. I just canceled my live shot. You're okay.
It's like you're screening Roadhouse 2 or something. It's a whole lot of nothing.
When the USA game began at 9 at local time, maybe there were 10 people in there.
Well, I mean, and look, and I don't mean for this to sound like some stupid Letterman top 10 thing or whatever, but I mean, it's like, have they considered doing like altering the game somehow to make it interesting? Because I mean, I really have tried to watch soccer because it is purportedly the world's most popular sport. They always claim that. But, I mean, if it's not popular in America, it kind of doesn't count. We all know that.
Well, it's not enough product placement.
I mean, I think, you know, maybe the ball should just randomly explode every now and again. Or just, you know, just a couple sinkholes sort of sporadically placed and hidden all over the field. Something.
An Iranian streaks on the field?
Yes. One of the Iranian players is killed. They use his head for the next period. Something. I don't know, man. It's...
Or release a lion out there every now and then.
I mean, there's...
Make it worth watching.
I mean, for the love of sweet God, you're talking about a game where they can spend 48 minutes and it ends in like a gripping 1-1 tie.
Well,
I mean...
And they wonder why... It is odd, you have to admit, that there are so many kids in this country that play soccer.
And none of them enjoy it, by the way.
Because their parents are too chicken to let them put on some pads and hit each other playing a football
game.
That's
what I'm talking about.
They play soccer. And yet no one gets into this World Cup. No one gets into soccer, period. Well, I can't say that because we do have a team in L.A.
Yeah, but we're not going to win anything.
Well, no.
No, we're not going to. We're going to win nothing.
We lost today. The Czech Republic beat us.
Do you suppose it's depressing to be on the American Cup soccer team? But like, no one on earth. You put a gun to somebody's head. They couldn't tell you.
Oh, man, it's a free trip to Germany, man. All that beer and sauerkraut.
No, I grew up like a lot of kids did. With friends who played soccer. None of them liked it. They all did it because the parents, like, badgered them into it. No one reminisces about their glory days playing soccer as a 16-year-old. No one cares. So, all right.
They don't.
Well, there you go. So I'm glad that...
All the guys in high school that played it, their last name was, like, Schwebler or something.
It was always a guy named Schwebler or a girl with suspiciously short hair and huge calf muscles. You know what I mean? She drove like a truck and installs aluminum siding now. That's kind of what that was all about. So, there you go. So, once again, the resources of CNN are being used wisely and sparingly. All right, well, there you go. Well, at least we're not talking about spelling bees again for, like, the fourth week.
Oh, good for you.
You've either got the best or worst job on earth. I don't even really know.
I get to talk to you almost every day, man. To me, that's the highlight, Jack.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
My favorite part of the day.
There you go. All right, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. Enjoy the rest of your action-packed soccer-centric day.
Thank you, Rick.
Yeah, okay, there you go. It's Jim Roop in Los Angeles. All right. I got nothing. There's no way to make soccer more exciting. Kristen, do you care about soccer?
Not really.
Tim?
Yeah?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying right there. Make the goal bigger. All right. What are we? Are we doing something here?
No, I don't even know.
I don't even know.
There's a show on tonight called Paralyzed and Pregnant. Would anybody like to tackle that topic?
No. Oh, wait, hold on.
I can say that for later.
That's just wrong.
Paralyzed and Pregnant on the Discovery Health channel.
Oh, Jesus God.
Immediately followed by Mystery Diagnosis.
Mystery Diagnosis sounds like some sort of game show in hell. You know, maybe it's scabies, maybe it's a tumor the size of a kumquat.
Hosted by Chuck Barris.
You're kidding
no,
me.
No, I made that part up.
Okay. Oh, speaking of, now that we're completely just screwed, I had this thing I was going to get to, but what's the point? You know, they want me to interview Howie Mandel. That's the next thing.
Do we have free tickets to that?
I guess, but I can't fathom what he's going to do. Like, what is Howie Mandel going to do on stage? Remember me? I used to do a thing, and now I watch it. Now I do a game show. What? It's like David Cassidy. We were at Chinook Wings, and it's like... It's just sad, you know? It's like this David Cassidy up on stage, face tighter because they've taken all the skin. You know, I mean, it's just... the plastic surgery on him is they're just standing behind him, planting a foot right in the middle of his back, pulling... You know, one doctor pulling back on his cheeks while the other doctor is just stapling everything down as
like
fast
an old
as he
corset.
Can. Totally. Yes, just cinching up his face like it was a mailbag. Just trying desperately, come on, we can shave 3 years off right now. So, and he's got to be like 150 years old, and it's like the press photo, they're doing that thing with Cassidy they do with Don Imus, where the press photo is from 1978. You know, still looks like he's got that spark in his eye, like his will to live hadn't quite been beaten out at that point. And he's there holding a guitar like he's going to rock the house or something. Shit, I mean, David Cassidy is one of those things you're almost tempted to go into just because, like, I can't fathom what he would fill 90 minutes with. I mean, is it just 90 minutes of us trying to talk about killing himself? Is that what it is? So,
what was I talking about? I don't think we had even started anything.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about. We were still back on Paralyzed and Pregnant.
Paralyzed and Pregnant tonight at 8.
Well,
I'm going to have to watch that.
All right.
Seriously.
Report back tomorrow.
How do you.
I'm going to be watching Look Up in the Sky, The Amazing Story of Superman, the phenomenon of the superhero.
How do you get pregnant if you're paralyzed? Well, I guess they'll
find out.
They put up the least struggle, I guess.
Oh, no.
Also on is Medical Incredible.
Okay.
We'll get to more of this later.
Thank God. Thank God for that. I'm just going to take a moment here and try to cleanse myself of all the ugliness that's occurred on this program over the last 15 minutes. All right. And, okay, we're done. All right, I'm going to play the Week in Geek here. Here's what's going to happen. We'll play the Week in Geek. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Lisa Goddard is going to join us from CNN Radio. We got the top five. We will either be doing today the top five Ramon songs featuring Marky Ramon, or the top five most embarrassing songs of the 60s. I'm not quite sure which one we're going to do. Later on, we have Peter Carlin for the Oregonian is going to join us. We got to get tickets to this benefit for Curtis Delgado. We get to give those away as well, and so forth. All right, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, it's the Week in Geek.
And now, the Rick Emerson Show presents the Week in Geek.
Hey, I'm Aaron Duran of GeekInTheCity.com, and this is the only slightly hungover edition of The Week in Geek. So it would seem that Fox had decided they no longer need plot, storyline, or any kind of acting skills in their films as they hire an effects house to helm the next Alien vs. Predator movie. Now, granted, the first one didn't have a plot either. However, the Strauss brothers don't fill this geek with much hope either, since they're best known for the effects in X-Men The Last Stand and Fantastic Four. Just go read the comics and be grateful that Paul W.S. Anderson's not involved anymore. It would seem that the nerds over at Google are also tired of their favorite shows being canceled after one season, as they developed a software which captures a 1 or 2 second sound clip of the show you're watching, beams it to a computer, and then sends it to whoever keeps shows on the air. Like I said, I don't know how this works, but anything that screws over the Nielsen rating system is good by me. Maybe Firefly would still be on the air. Speaking of Joss Whedon, the Mission Theater in Portland, Oregon is going to be showing the entire season of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, starting with episode 1, Welcome to the Hellmouth, at 10 p.m. Sweet. The shows are free, but you gotta be 21 or over. I'm Aaron Duran of GeekInTheCity.com, reminding you that lightsaber dueling after 12 dirty martinis is a poor, poor idea. This has been The Week in Geek.
The Week in Geek. Only from The Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio.
I could get that job. Well, it's just some guy. They must just get some guy on Angel Dust and just stick him in a room. Look, you know, it's like television Mad Libs. Hi, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Where they just stick a guy in a room. Look, we need 15 shows by this time tomorrow. It's got to be blank and blank. Here's a big bag of drugs. Go. How else do you get... Is it Paralyzed and Pregnant or Pregnant and Paralyzed?
Paralyzed and Pregnant. Then it's Medical Incredible, then it's Mystery Diagnosis.
Okay, but do they just have some... They just have some baboon in a room somewhere? How about Fat and Riddled with Sores? Yeah, there you go. It's genius. All right. How about the Limbless and Horny? That's good. Limbless. Okay, there you go. Fantastic. All right, no, see, here they... Here it comes.
See, here comes the hate mail.
No, I'm just going to say, so, here come the... Sometimes you can just tell. Sometimes you can tell as soon as it leaves your mouth. As soon as you say, like, you know, Limbless and Horny, there's some guy out there reaching for the phone. Like, that's genius. And now I know what to do with this idea I've been storing up inside my head. It's 503-733-2970. We'll get in just a moment Lisa Goddard from CNN Radio. Let's see, what else do we have here? Rick, what about that damn mystery noise that stumped everybody? Okay, here's the thing. The mystery noise was not supposed to stump everybody. I thought that the first person who competed would guess it. I thought that the very first caller would know what the mystery noise was. The mystery noise was the mechanism by which we were trying to give away our final pair of Rickles tickets on Friday.
I bet Don Rickles would have known.
Probably. I knew. Did you know?
Yes.
Without being told, did you know what it was?
Yes.
All right. See, that's what I'm saying. And I got to tell you, I am a little surprised that not even on the phone, you know, the phone people didn't know, but even via email, people weren't able to recognize what it was. Listen, here's another one. Listen to this, Rick. The mystery noise that stumped everybody on Friday was that someone using a spirograph. No, it was not someone using a spirograph. I'm almost hesitant to play it now because it's just become... It's become this huge thing. It's like a giant millstone that we're carrying now. I just don't even know what to do with it. We do have some Curtis Delgado tickets we're going to be giving away. Those will be listening for that. I'll be doing the top five as well. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, live from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent and woman about town, Lisa Goddard. Lisa, how are you?
Hello, darling. How are you?
I am rolling along, sister, executing everything we do flawlessly.
As always.
It's been a very strange week for you guys. You guys have had a busy couple of days.
That's right.
And so the latest, and is there some threat that Al Qaeda issued against us or something? Right, because of the Al Zarqawi thing. Is that true that there's been some sort of Al Qaeda's? They're agitating about how they're gonna do something to us, and we will rue the day, and so forth.
They are. This is Al Qaeda in Iraq, and you know some people use that interchangeably with Al Qaeda itself. But Al Qaeda in Iraq has always been a separate wing. In fact, it was completely separate at one point from Al Qaeda, very vaguely connected with them only. So it's not that this threat is coming necessarily from Osama bin Laden as the head of Al-Qaeda, but this is coming from Zarqawi's group, Al-Qaeda, in Iraq. I know it could not be a lot more confusing, but...
So this is like Al-Qaeda West?
This is like Al-Qaeda West.
Are they franchising it now? Is it just sort of the... I mean, that's for like $100,000, and you fill out an application, you get your own Al-Qaeda somewhere?
Maybe more like the XFL. I don't know.
Good reference.
Thanks.
Look at that.
But the Al-Qaeda in Iraq is, in fact, threatening specifically Americans, American troops, United States in general, saying that they will, in fact, get their revenge. They will wreak havoc upon America. But it's not clear that that is a threat against the actual United States itself, our territory here. It may be a threat against those in Iraq and against our allies in Iraq. It's not clear what they mean, and in fact, the Bush administration is saying they don't think there's a lot of teeth behind that threat. Not anything different from what they've heard before.
All right, here's why I'm not worried about it. I don't mean to be throw caution to the wind and so forth, but the reason I'm not necessarily worried about Al Qaeda and blah 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 in the wake of Al Zarqawi is because of it. I'm looking at the actual verbiage here, the actual language they use.
Right.
In a statement posted on an Islamic website, Al-Qaeda threatened, quote, large-scale operations that will shake the enemy and rob them of sleep, blah, blah, blah. And this sounds a lot like the stuff that Baghdad Bob was throwing out as, like, the tanks were rolling through Baghdad. Remember that? That there are no tanks. You will sleep in the belly of a goat, American dogs, you know. And he was just... It seems like if they were really going to be doing something... Like, this is a lot of saber-rattling. They'd just be skipping this and getting to the retribution. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, it's tricky, though. That is how these groups talk. You know, to them, our way of talking is far too simple and simplistic, and we, you know, sound sort of ignorant and like we haven't read any books older than last week's People magazine with Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. You know, this is their ancient form of speaking, or it's related vaguely to more ancient forms of speaking, and you know, so you do have a point there. It does sound like saber rattling on a couple of levels. I think you're right.
So there's a power vacuum they claim now. But if this is all in such small little cells and groups and whatnot, I mean, it doesn't. Again, it just seems like this is the getting rid of Al Zarqawi is just how much of a power vacuum could there really be if these are all isolated factions? Do you know what I mean? It doesn't seem like there is sort of a top-down hierarchical power structure.
Right, and that leads us to this new development where we have the name of his successor. We understand that his name is Abu Hamza al-Muhajir. And we'll see if that catches.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, that's a stage name. That's
you know, and that's the funny thing, is actually it is a stage name.
Oh, you're kidding, really?
No, it really is. It is... That is absolutely a new name. No terrorist experts know it. It is not known in Middle Eastern circles. It is assumed by everyone to be a nom de guerre, and that this is actually the new name, probably, of someone who is in Zarqawi's camp. And you've got to remember, Zarqawi, that's not his real name either.
But are these are all
it's
the
been cleared by SAG?
Guys, yeah, I was going to say, are all the Al Qaeda guys like bad DJs where they've all got to like Bill St. John? They've all got to pick some terrible. I wonder if this is sort of the equivalent of like Steele or whatever as like the last name over there that everybody's got to pick when they join up.
Right. Right. Their actual name's very, very boring. You know, some Milton, some Earl.
Ted. Yeah.
Right, right. You're right. Not right. So, but this is, and the, but the prefix Abu, that speaks to the father of in many instances, but not in all. But so that's where you hear that a lot.
It's in
like
Disney's
in Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. Now we've got Abu Hamza al-Muhajir as the new person. But absolutely, we do not know anything about who this is exactly. But intelligence experts are assuming that this is a stage name, a new name, for someone who has been in Zarqawi's camp. And another interesting name to think about is something called the Shura Council. That's a lot easier to remember, Shura Council. That's a council that Zarqawi helped put together of a lot of different insurgent groups. His group is part of it, and it's possible this new leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq is from that Shura Council, but we just don't know for sure yet.
All right. Well, I think I'm going to use this phrase, though, this shake the enemy and rob them of sleep. I think that's going to become our new positioning statement at AM 97. That's going to be our... That's going to be our threat to Clear Channel. All right. Hey, thank you, Lisa Goddard.
You got it.
All right, there you go. Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent. That's what we're going to do. That's where we're issuing that threat right now. We will rob you of sleep and so forth. All right, 503-733-2970. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Take up calls, go to the city desk, and then probably break in top five and something.
That sounds reasonable.
Yeah, whatever. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend, the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. How are you?
Hi, Rick. I'm good. How are you?
I'm dandy. So are you in Boston?
I am. I'm actually in Harvard Square right now, sitting outside of a bar drinking a beer.
Now, for like an hour, there was a new profile picture on your MySpace. Or is it still up?
I think it's still up. Yeah, we took my sister. We went on top of a roof, and we were drinking some wine, looking over the city of Boston. It was lovely.
It is a fantastic photo, because it's you literally dangling your feet over the edge of a roof, apparently hundreds and hundreds of feet in the air, with like liquor in your other hand.
Yes, it's actually really high up there. It's getting a little scared, so we're posing up there. That turned out to be the best one.
Good time. Did you take your dog with you?
No, Muppet's staying with Delane.
I see. All right, then. So have you done anything exciting and fantabulous?
Well, today, we've actually been quite productive. Today we went to the art museum. It was very exciting.
Uh-huh.
And but yesterday we went over Harvard Square, Boston Commons. We went and saw where John Kerry lives.
Right on.
Where did we go?
Right on.
Oh, we went to Newbury Street. Yeah. Bought a lot of stuff that I don't need. It's really hot.
You go to Newbury
really
Comics?
Hot here.
Tim has a question for you.
You go to Newbury Comics?
What is Newbury Comics?
Newbury Commons?
Comics.
Comics? What is that? Is it a store?
I don't know.
Is it a comic book and
Newbury,
music store?
Newbury Street's where like all the fancy schmancy shops are that we can't go into.
I see. Do you feel like Julia Roberts and the Pretty Woman with just glaring at you?
I do. It's true. Well, the pink hair is getting... It's so weird. Everyone here is so conservative and so, like, beige and gray.
Yeah,
like, that's
yeah.
all they wear. And so, like pink hair is kind of freaking people out.
And Catholic.
Yeah, tell you, everybody's Irish and Catholic and mean. Yeah. You should make some Kennedy jokes. See how that goes over.
Okay.
All right. Okay. I'll say,
the connection's really bad here. I've got to get back to drinking, Rick.
That's okay. I'll let you go. All right. Thank you, Sarah. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
I'll call you from someplace exciting tomorrow, though.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay,
all right,
good.
There you go. All right, there's Sarah Dillon. Okay. All right, then.
It's all snooty and Catholic till nobody's looking.
Yeah. Let's talk to Les here on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Yeah, Rick, apparently while you were down at the coast putting yourself into a food coma, a large group of Portlanders took their clothes off and rode through town.
I know. Somebody told me about that. Somebody was, you know, because I'm kind of a bicyclist. Somebody told me, hey, you're gonna be in this great bicycle thing that's going to happen on Saturday? And I don't know what it was. And I said, I don't know. What is it? Well, we're all going to be nude. And it's like at that point I tune out. Because anybody, and this is a rule, you know that this is true. You have one trip to Sobey Island will confirm this. The people in Portland who decide to be nude are people who should never, ever, ever be nude. The people here who take, it's always lots of unappealing, you know, acres of pink skin and lots of areas that aren't shaved, and it's a whole lot of bad, my friend. You know that's true.
A cross between humans and rhinos.
well,
seriously.
I'm not so sure.
We're sure.
A nice cross section.
Les, were you one of those people?
No, but we did happen to run into them on the Burnside Bridge while they were trying to put their clothes back on.
Yeah, see, I don't look, I mean, there's just people who can just, they can make nudity unappealing. You know what I mean? It's like those, you know, it's like when you go to Berkeley or whatever it is, and there's always some feminist class, and they're marching because the women have the right to be topless, and then it's just these women... God love the human body in all its various forms, but it's always just some, it's always just some woman that you just, it's like you can feel your corneas being burnt away, like the longer you look. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about. And me too. You don't see me take, you don't see me subjecting people to my skin. It's a bad scene, my friend.
It's like National Geographic goes to a third world country.
Here you go.
All right. Thank you, Les.
Bye.
All right. There you go. 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up. We got the Curtis Salgado tickets. We got the top five we're going to get to. In just a moment, we're going to go to the City Desk with Tim Riley. Let's get this guy, Mike. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hi,
what's
Rick.
Up?
Hey. I was down at the Rickles Show this weekend with you.
Yes.
And that was just a great treat, and I wanted to thank you.
Fantastic.
Had a blast.
No, it was great. It was, he was, man, was he on or was he on?
Oh, yeah. That was one of the best shows.
Yeah. I mean, it was, again, as I've been saying over and over and over again, 80 years old, he comes out, he sang three or four different songs, he did, like, little dancing, he did the stand-up, he's got the orchestra. I mean, that's, you know, that's a lot of bang for your buck there.
Yeah,
especially
it doesn't get much better.
Yeah, guy's like three times my age, so, yeah, a genius. All right.
We put together some good shows.
Yeah. What we do. All right, thank you, Mike.
Yeah, thanks, Rick.
All right, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the City Desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From higher top to bottom of the coin, tire downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat, Tim Riley reporting. Portland has ranked among the top 10 brainiest U.S. cities, and Portland's apparent smarter sibling, Seattle, placed number one. Portland ranked number nine in education on the list. Almost 33% of Portland residents are college graduates, or even community college. And of those, 11.4% advanced to earn a degree and or professional degree. Cities like Miami, Cleveland, Detroit lag behind the brain power list. As a matter of fact, they have determined that Miami has the lowest brain power rating of any community in America. Jeb Bush,
I'm sorry, where is that?
Miami, Florida.
All right, excellent.
So two-thirds of its adults never went to college, and nearly half never graduate from high school. The rest are killing each other.
And nearly all of them look at you with a glassy-eyed, fixed stare, jaw hanging open, drool pooling at the bottom of their shoes. So they're the dumbest city in America.
Oh, absolutely.
We should randomly call some people.
Detroit's number two.
Oh, yeah. Well, Detroit, you don't live long enough to go to school, man. It's like you come out of the womb. There's like 80% chance you're going to be shot. So, all right, there you go. In your face, Miami. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
More Florida stories. This comes to us from Florida. Hollywood, Florida. Jorge Rivera lost his life Sunday over $2. The Hollywood Butcher was in a car accident in a tow truck. When it came time to pay the $78 bill, Rivera only had four $20 bills. When the driver said he couldn't provide change, Rivera demanded it. And at 1:30 in the morning, an argument escalated as Rivera's nephew joined him at yelling at the driver. The driver became nervous and drove off with Rivera's Chrysler Sebring still on the flatbed. Then Rivera jumped on the truck cab, hanging off the passenger side. The driver rolls down the window, traps Rivera's hands, and his nephew ran behind the truck. Rivera eventually freed himself, fell underneath the reels of the vehicle, and died.
There you go.
The driver heard a thump and said he hit something. He drove a couple of blocks and sees police officers trying to flag him down. You're dragging a body behind you.
You've got a little something here.
It's kind of sad because the whole thing was over $2.
All right, you can just, everybody insert your Better Off Dead references right here. That's one of those, that's the low-hanging fruit of comedy. That is it right there. That is it. Everybody can insert your Lane Meyer jokes in this. We're going to wait 3 seconds for you to do that. All right, there you go. Here's Tim Riley.
Three gator stories in a row. The first one coming from Orlando.
Orlando where?
Florida. Well, unlike other patients waiting for a CAT scan, this one didn't hesitate to chomp down on a finger. A six-foot-long albino American alligator bit down on the thumb of a CT scan technician while getting scanned at a Florida hospital.
Who would be scanning an alligator?
That is weird, isn't it? Renee Power, who was asked to help hold the alligator's snout while its handler taped it shut, screamed when the alligator shook free and bit down on his finger. But once the handler pried open the jaws, Power's first word was, cool.
As befits the smartest state in the union. That's fantastic. You need a stronger union there in Florida, by the way. Part of your job description is holding shut the jaws of an alligator. Seems like maybe your shop steward isn't getting it done.
This comes here from Orange County, Florida, where trappers there believe they have captured a gator that bit a man in the head at Kelly Park. The alligator was captured at Kelly Park near where Michael Dias was snorkeling alone. He survived the attack, but received 33 stitches to put his head back together.
Head back together is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Also, let me note for the record that snorkeling alone sounds like code for something. Mm-hmm. Jesus God.
I guess it was staple back. We're not good at that down there.
You can smell the stupid on this guy. Mm-hmm. All right, there you go.
Gator story number two, up to Iowa City. Iowa, we go for this one. This comes to us from WHO TV. Iowa officials say an alligator-like reptile that escaped from an animal shelter near Solon was shot and killed. The four-foot-long caiman was shot yesterday by a resident, John Wilkinson. The Iowa DNR, whatever that is, says a wildlife technician came to the scene. He was calling his supervisor for help. Before he could get an answer, the neighbor shot it. Torvin Platt, who runs the Witty Kitty shelter, said he's not sure how the caiman escaped. He has two other caimans. They're kept in a plastic pool surrounded by a chain-link fence. Platt says he's upset the caiman was killed, but takes blame for it getting loose.
All right, there you go. Let's talk to Ed. Ed, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick.
Ed.
I want to make a David Cassidy comment, but I want it to be one from Florida.
Who? Yeah? Okay, first of all, who calls a radio program with and leads it? Rick, I'd like to make a David Cassidy comment. Do you realize there are a few things...
It.
I'm just saying, there are a few things in the world which you can say you are very unique in. I will tell you this right now. In this whole country of 285 million people, you are the only person today who has called a radio talk show with the phrase, I'd like to make a David Cassidy. David Cassidy hasn't done that. All right, go ahead.
I'm putting you on the edge.
All right, what do you got?
You know, you ever watch basketball?
Yeah.
Well, you know how all basketball referees run the same?
Yes.
So David Cassidy concert is an hour and a half of David Cassidy doing that. Can't you just see it? It's an unmistakable image for me.
I don't understand.
All basketball referees run the same. I guarantee you David Cassidy does the same thing. You ask, what does he do for an hour and a half up there?
I understand.
Why would David Cassidy... Is this some sort of joke I'm not getting? Why would David Cassidy be running like a basketball referee?
I can't help it if you're not getting it. But I'm sure he runs around a lot, and he runs just like a basketball referee. Just an image that came into my head. Sorry.
Nothing to apologize for. We just don't understand what's happening.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Ed.
Thank you.
All right,
speaking of David Cassidy, has anyone noticed?
I don't understand what he was talking about.
We don't either.
Does anyone know?
No.
Okay.
Speaking of David Cassidy.
Yes.
I was watching this preview at the movie.
Unlikely Phrase the Third. That's right after I'm calling with a David Cassidy comment and paralyzed and pregnant.
I can't believe how much Tim Allen now looks like Danny Bonaducci.
Man, Tim Allen looks like somebody jammed a hose into a private area of his body and started filling him up with air about a week ago. It's like, you know what I mean? He's become a large man. Him and Tom DeLonge from Blink-182. Mm-hmm. That's another guy who's been left alone at the pastry bar for too long. Yeah. All right.
Well, I got this John Cleese update here.
All right.
He gave the world the Ministry of Silly Walks and foul-tempered hoteler Basil Fawlty on Fawlty Towers. But now John Cleese says he wants to pass his comedic skills to a new generation. He's one of the founders of Monty Python. He plans to write a history of stage, film, and TV comedy. He says, quote, I am too old to write new comedy, 66. He said with the Times newspaper, I can never do any better than Fawlty Towers. I guess we have to agree with that.
No, it's true. Fawlty Towers, which is generally considered by most people to be among the finest of all television sitcoms. By the way, at the Chinook Winds, there was, right next to the Young Frankenstein slot machine, there was a Monty Python and the Holy Grail slot machine. So there you go. So the geek pandering has reached its apotheosis there. Let's see. Let's welcome now. Oh, this is Kristen from accounting, who I believe her theme is lurking over there somewhere. Look at you. Man, that's fantastic. See, I'm sorry. I didn't anticipate that you would be so quick on the draw with that.
Whoa, she must be a Kristen with an I-N.
Nah, no.
Ian.
No, sadly. No, and I'm having to correct people like 80 times a day that it's not you.
Yeah, that's okay.
What do you got?
Hey, two things, actually. You don't want to waste your time with David Cassidy, because I actually met him. I was working at a bookstore, and he came in for a book signing when I lived in L.A.
Right.
Not the most pleasant guy. He's still kind of got that... bitter.
No, you don't say.
On,
no,
you know?
That's hard to imagine.
But hey, I did get his autograph.
Really?
So,
have you have you read his book?
You know, I haven't read it.
Just the grumpiest bastard on earth. Just every other page. Just stupid father, dad. He's just a guy just obsessed. And I think his dad died in a fire.
Yeah, his
smoking.
Dad did die in a fire.
I think somebody dies in a fire. At that point, you gotta be nice to him just a little bit. But man, every other page, man, is that guy just going on and on and on about his dad. It's like
Cassidy, remember that little mustache? He was really cool.
Well, and it's like, you read his book, which is called Come On, Get Happy.
Yeah.
And it's
not so much about getting happy.
No, come on, pay my rent. Yeah. It's the where it's like his dad and then talking about groupies. Dad talking about some girl he did, like, in the back of a limo. Dad talking about
he was more popular than the Beatles.
And it's like, I don't want to think
about that.
You know, I don't want to think about David Cassidy getting it on with some. It's like when I read that Geraldo book. Man, it's like every 2-3 paragraphs. And then Bette Midler pulled over, and we did it by the side of the road in Needles, you know. And it's like, I don't want to hear about that. So,
you know, and I was also gonna, you know, if Tim wants me to pick something up at Newbury Comics for him, I also will be heading to the East Coast, so I could stop by Newbury Comics for you, Tim.
Maybe you could explain to us what Newbury Comics is, because you've been there.
Well, it's, you know, it's just one of those, it used to be the coolest place.
It was back in my day, but that was in the 70s.
Yeah, now it's kind of become one of those corporate, you know, it's just a CD record.
Oh, Sam Goody must have taken over and ruined it like they ruined everything.
Yeah, but they still got
the bitterest guy on earth. All right. Christian Bowie's giving me, and she's giving me the breaks on it angrily, by the way. She's giving me
It
seemed like you were squinting a little and giving me
concentrating very hard on giving you the best she can do for your show, Rick.
Exactly. Thank you.
See,
the Kristen knows.
All right.
Yeah, it was good to see you on Friday night there, Rick, too.
Where were you?
I was,
your lovely wife was there.
I was
rocking out and whatnot.
I was tired. I had to rest.
Right.
Hell's Bell. I had tickets to Hell's Bells and Cleveland at Dante's. But I was beat and I had Rickles the next night.
Which was the best show ever, I might tell.
The Hell's Bells?
Well, Cleveland just rocked.
Yeah,
Hell's Bells is great. But.
Yeah, and I know. And it's like my wife could say, and you're immediately talking all kinds of smack about me. What is Rick? 80? He can't go out two nights in a row?
Exactly.
Oh, you're kvetching about how I'm not there. I slept all day Sunday, too. I had to rest up for the buffet.
You're supposed to be out among the people.
No, that's an awful long ride to get there.
When
you get there, there's nothing open.
I had to give my metabolism a fighting chance to digest all the barbecue at the Chinook Winds buffet.
Yeah, that takes a lot of energy right there.
All right, there you go. Kristen from accounting. Thank you. All right, we got to take a break here. We'll take a break. Come back. What the hell are we doing when we come back? God only knows. We got to do the top five still. Jesus. Top five. I still got to do this. We still got to play this Weird Al song. Maybe we'll come back with that. What else? Peter Carlin is going to be here. We got the tickets to see this benefit concert for Curtis Delgado and all of that. Ladies and gentlemen, more of your phone calls on the way, emails, etc. Like us at 3 World Famous Phil Henry Show at 7. It's 503-733-2970. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.